God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, let there be light. Because we believe we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to A Disciple's View. I've been playing around with an idea. And it's something born from having been a kid who was latchkey. My mom had to go back to work after my dad made the unfortunate decision to leave the family. They did a good job as a divorced couple, but it was never the same. So I spent some time in front of the TV. And do you remember the commercials for Easy Bake Ovens? Anyone remember that? There were these little miniature ovens, and it was aimed at girls, targeted girls. And I think mostly girls used it. Boys did, but they never told anybody. And you baked supposedly pies or cakes. Remember that? Of course, it was, kind of plastic. It wasn't food. But it was super easy. You just poured stuff into a vat, a mold, and put water, and boom, cake. The Democrats have, and Republicans can fall victim to this, but Democrats have populated and nurtured a base of people who fall victim to easy bake hate. And this is relatable to the new thing that it seems that Democrats are so willing to fall for the new thing. For instance, when the globalists announced that Ukraine is the most important country in the world and that it's always been the most important country in the world, when the Democrats went from complaining about the Nazi problem in Ukraine because the New York Times wrote a long piece about the Nazi problem in Ukraine, when they stopped talking about it as a deeply corrupt nation, all of a sudden it was a paragon of democracy because now they care about this, they care about national sovereignty and borders, and it happened on a dime. Why? I think the Democrats have become experts at tapping sin and marketing to sin. I wouldn't be surprised to learn that Democrats took a hint from Mark Zuckerberg and others in social media and technology who started hiring neurologists and psychologists and brain experts to figure out how to make sure that their products tap dopamine centers, pleasure centers. And there's a specific rhythm to this. For instance, in video gaming, there are neurologists and brain scientists who help the game companies figure out the right amount of reward versus loss. Because there's a balance in playing a game. If you get into a game and you're just losing all the time, you don't get any pleasure center. So they started by changing the games. That there weren't just one game. There's now a beginner level, a second level, third, fourth, fifth, up to expert. And again, that's so you can play the game again and again. And when they put in-game purchases and you can purchase bigger weapons, etc., that's all part of this script. And they did this with Facebook. In technology, they invented this thing called the infinite scroll. Do you remember back in the day, you get to the end of a website? There's no more ends of websites. Right? Websites never end. You just keep scrolling. So this was all a result of brain science. It wouldn't surprise me to learn that the Democrats have neurologists working for them. Now, I know, because I worked in the field, I know that they know they're tapping emotions. I know that they do polling to get opinion, but they also, I sold a big data company and we had a very unique license to some high-end tech and high-end polling, and we had a unique license to combine these things. So we had the unique ability to look at someone's opinion and then determine which emotions had driven those opinions so that we could go back and change the emotions. which sadly changes people's opinions. Witness Elon Musk. Elon Musk once spent 6 hours waiting in line to meet Barack Obama. He helped Obama during his presidency. This is long forgotten, but he did. There was a time when Elon Musk was legitimately referred to, and may God forgive the people who did this, they used to refer to Elon Musk as the new, and Lord forgive me, the new Jesus Christ.
I would argue that the new Jesus Christ of our era are Steve Jobs and Elon Musk, and it's important to have heroes.
The 47-year-old engineer has been called the real-life Tony Stark, better known as Iron Man.
Elon Musk, a.k.a. real-life Iron Man.
The guy is brilliant.
He is a genius, and at least for now, the world is better off having Elon Musk in it than not.
Elon Musk is one of the most interesting people in America. He's in the world, and I guess in the universe.
Elon Musk is doing things that may revolutionize transportation and climate change.
He still is. If you believe that electric cars are net positive for the environment, he's doing it at a level no one else has ever done it. If you believe that helping get poor people access to the internet is important, because, of course, the figurehead appointed some $60 billion to do that and has never connected anyone to the internet but made a lot of people rich, Elon Musk is doing that. Still, right now. But easy bake hate. Elon Musk is now Hitler. So it wouldn't surprise me that Democrats have neurologists tapping into this, figuring out, hey, how can we drive negative emotions? And here's the game. Rage is a really difficult emotion to sustain. But Democrats are doing everything they can to create rage. And again, it's difficult to sustain. MSNBC.
And then you also overnight have this post claiming that protests at Tesla dealerships are illegal. He said today he would label violence against dealerships domestic terrorism. Now, you know, I am judicious in how I play this sound, but I think you need to hear it from him.
Mr. President, talks about some of the violence that's been going on around the country at dealerships. Some say they should be labeled domestic terrorists.
Because I will do that. I'll do it. I'm going to stop them. We catch anybody doing it because they're harming a great American company. Let me tell you, you do it to Tesla and you do it to any company, we're going to catch you and you're going to go through hell.
So just to be clear, you protest a private company, you are labeled by this administration a domestic terrorist.
Just to be clear, you're lying. It's not the protests. It's destruction of property. It's burning down electric charging stations. It's occupying a business. It's seizing its property even for a little while. They can't work. They can't sell cars. You're trespassing. You are doing this to scare people. To scare people into not buying Teslas, to affect political change. That is the actual definition of terrorism. So they're taking rage, and they understand that emotion. And in those moments of rage, they are getting people to sign up for websites like Target Tesla, and then they're going to take that rage, and they're going to turn it into an emotion that is more sustainable, that lasts longer, and that is resentment. Resentment can last a long time. Super sustainable. So if you're looking at this from a perspective of brain science, you're watching people's emotions. Do they spike their rage and then go back into a normal state? No. There's a population of people who follow Democrats, and I mean this in the sincerest possible way. They become traumatized, as in post-traumatic stress, and they have normalized the rage-resentment cycle. Here's a crazy thing about human psyche. you can become so normalized into psychological behaviors that it is painful to come out of those psychological behaviors, even when they are deeply negative behaviors. Think of someone with a habit of talking themselves down. Have you ever heard these people? Well, I know I'm your fat friend, but maybe we could go to the lake. I know you don't like to be seen around your fat friend. And you say to your friend, you are my friend. I don't think of you as my fat friend. And they'll continue this. And sometimes it's pity seeking. Sometimes it's pity fishing. And with friends who do this with me, I eventually tend to say, hey, you know what? I love you a lot. And when you're ready to do something about your body weight, let's talk about it. But it hurts me when you talk yourself down. It causes me pain. But there's a population of Democrats who've been, I think, manipulated to the point that they don't understand they're in this rage resentment cycle. When you build up a series of resentments, you are now tapping the sin problem. And this is how I began this segment. I believe the Democrats have become expert at tapping sin problems. Let's just go across the board. Love your neighbor. Love your enemy. Elon Musk is Hitler. So to take that jealousy, that coveting, well, Elon has what I don't have. Elon has access to the White House. I don't have access to this White House. To tap this about Elon, Elon's stealing my Social Security because Elon needs the money, because the Social Security fund is so interesting to a guy who's got $240 billion. Coveting. Reparations. Coveting. We don't need to speak of lust, but let's do. Kamala Harris, one of her closing arguments in the quixotic presidential campaign we were supposed to believe was filled with joy and organic excitement. One of her closing arguments was, I'm going to make sure that you continue to have access to Pornhub. I'm going to make it easier for you to tap the sin of lust, looking at people sexually, committing mental adultery. I believe Democrats have just mastered the act of tapping sin the way they've mastered the act of creating rage and then turning the rage into carefully crafted and nurtured resentment. You know, it's hard to start a plant, right? Because a lot of early seedlings die. But once a mighty tree is grown, say from a mustard seed, they're hard to kill. Resentment's hard to kill. Addiction to sin is hard to kill. And Democrats have gotten so good at this. God made us male and female in his image. No, he didn't. I choose my own image. Pride. Refusal to accept the gift God gave you. Lack of gratitude. Spirit of selfishness. So we're seeing the fruits of this in our midst. And it's this easy bake hate idea. If you're someone who's easily manipulated into hating another, what does that mean? I think it means you've got strong reservoirs of hate that's been fostered over time. You see, the enemy doesn't need us to deny God. He doesn't need us to say the unthinkable about Jesus or the Holy Spirit. He needs us to be apart from the Father. And hatred is a thing around which God does not want to operate. God is love. Hatred is dark. God is light. The more time people spend in a rage and resentment cycle, the harder it will be for them to hear God's word, God's voice. I know this. When I was in my wrestling match with God over something I deeply, deeply loved and still do, probably always will, I couldn't read the word. And Satan would say to me, hey, why read it? You're not getting anything out of it. So praise God for deliverance. We'll come back on the Disciples View. Appreciate you listening to Disciples View. Appreciate you supporting AFR. And when you give monthly to AFR, you give us a great way to have predictable income and revenue, which helps us invest. And it's not me doing it, praise God. It's the Wildman family that has been given this privilege and, in fact, this job by God to steward the accounts here. And they have a great management team that cares deeply for your money. So become a donor, monthly donor at AFR.net. And you can also then have access to all the shows on a streaming basis, all the archives. There are clips available of our radio programs at AFR.net, and you can get that as well. But take the full access of that. And if God is tapping you and saying you have more to give, well, gosh, we have share coming up. But you could do a pre-share donation. There's nothing stopping you from doing that as well, even a significant one. And thanks again for supporting us. We'll get to the next segment to a personal note and the Tower of Babbling. We talked last segment about my theory that Democrats have become very skilled at tapping sin and using it for electoral advances. One of the ways they've done this is the sin of hating your neighbor. And I know we're supposed to believe that President Trump does this with his closing of the borders. I simply do not observe of this a hatred for Hispanic people. I simply recognize a brutal reality that we're the world's lifeboat to a degree. We're 5% of the population. We had taken in at one point 20% of the world's displaced peoples, probably more now. Don't sink your lifeboats. I know that's a bizarre, maybe banal way to put it, but don't. But the Democrats are great at tapping this rage and resentment cycle. Right now, they've chosen Elon Musk as a person they need their followers to hate so that they can take that hate and turn it into resentment. And resentment is long-lasting, and it's sustainable, and they can use it to drive election results they want for many years to come. They're also very good at driving sin behaviors, human pride, human lust. This is potent because if you have a control your lust party, accept the body God gave you party, don't covet party. We're not going to create policies that are coveting, reparations or coveting. We're told to forgive seven times. And reparations is not that. You have a choice then that people can make between a party. Then the Republican Party is the Republican National Committee is not a godly organization. I was on the leadership team there. I'm here to tell you it's as broken as it gets, but it is far, far from the Democrats who are actively taking sin and making it an electoral issue. I want to continue to sin. I want to continue to force people to pretend I'm a woman. I want the sexual gratification of forcing people to believe that. That's an autogynephiliac's view. Democrats have said, hey, we'll help you force the world to pretend you're a woman, and that sexually gratifies you. We have the Democrats saying to kids who are resenting their bodies, they're in a state of confusion. Everyone who went through puberty felt that to some degree, some people very badly. So we'll help you with a short-term distraction that's unbelievably destructive. And we're also going to tap a sin issue, which is a refusal to do as God would have you do. So you have that. And it's on that topic last week that we didn't spend the time on this that we should have. It was Detransition Awareness Week. And this is a very important thing because the people who merchandised the live transgenderism created the Trans Day of Awareness, but it was all just based around lies. All of transgenderism is based on lies. All of it. Not gender dysphoria, that's real, but transgenderism is all based on lies. So during that month of awareness or week of what used to be day and then week and then month, that's how they do it. They would pretend, for instance, that there's a lot of people just going out and attacking people who are gender rebellious. And they would say that the so-called trans people are more likely to be victims of assault. True. By their domestic partners. Imagine that. A couple of men who think they're women are in a relationship and there's fights. Or a man who thinks he's a woman and is sexually gratified by forcing people to believe this, gets into a relationship with a woman, he's physically stronger and he beats her up. Weird. In other words, how strange that mentally ill people sometimes resort to violence. Detransition Awareness Week. Though I don't like the phrase, it's the only one that can be used because people have been taught that they've transitioned into being a male or a female. That can't happen, but you can have the illusion. We didn't spend enough time on this. There's a documentary coming out. It's a series, an identity crisis series. And this gets us starting on this. This is a young person relating what happened the moment they said the word gender and what happened in that instance.
Apparently, you know, when you have a mental disorder, fixing your body, changing your body isn't the answer. That liposuction is not a treatment for anorexia, but surgery is a treatment for gender dysphoria.
The minute this person spoke the word gender, people were all over. And it went beyond just that. It went beyond she said it. It is now the providers say it. The Democrats have become so good at tapping this, they also created business models for people. Please never let it be forgotten that so-called Dr. Rachel Levin in the HHS got on the phone and yelled at people because they didn't understand how much money they could make transing kids. Remember that. And Dr. Rachel Levin was obsessed with transing street kids using government money. Remember these things on Detransition Awareness Day, which we missed. We allow ourselves to be driven by the news cycle. My bad. But we're picking up on it now. This is a very, very, I think, powerful way of understanding what's been done to these young people. And there are doctors who stood up. Doctors who stood up and were fired. It's not new. It's not new that doctors are being fired. It's new that more doctors are standing up. Listen to this statement.
And that's when I detransitioned because I realized that I was never meant to be a gay trans man or queer. I was just a traumatized girl. No one wants to be a traumatized girl. That's not something that you can feel whole in yourself about. And I realized in that moment that it wasn't some fundamental thing that was broken about me. It was that my family was broken. The system was broken. And in that moment, I decided to, for the first time, accept that my body was not the problem. And at the age of 22, I detransitioned. And for the last 6 years, I have clawed my way through hell to get to where I am today, to be able to advocate for those in need. Years ago, when I was suicidal, I never thought that I would make it another day. And now I'm here because I don't want anyone else to have to go through that.
A young man told a story about becoming depressed and suicidal and running away from home, going to the sanctuary state of Oregon and the very fallen city of Portland, where he was availed of the opportunity to have his testicles removed at taxpayer cost. So he did. When he figured out that he'd been conned, insurance wouldn't pay to have reconstructive surgery or to give him testosterone, absent now since he'd had his body changed. The same providers who urged him on didn't want anything to do with him. And Democrats have tapped this as a power base. And I have great fear that Republicans aren't going to do anything on another form of power base that has a nexus point very similar to what they did to kids. I'm going to make that case in just a second. This is from back in October 1 of 2024. Wyoming's governor removed the doctor from the state's Board of Medicine because the doctor supported a law banning so-called gender-affirming care for minors. The doctor is suing. His lawyers are filing a motion Tuesday asking the court to reinstate him on the medical board. His legal team revealed that he has more than 5,000 Wyoming residents have signed a petition asking the government to reinstate him. Quote, I was removed from the Wyoming State Board of Medicine because I took a stand to protect the children in our state, Dr. Eric Kubin, a radiologist, told the Daily Signal on Tuesday. The nonprofit law firm Liberty Justice Center is representing him. The center is best known for Representative Mark Janus in the 2018 Supreme Court case Janus versus AFCME, in which the court protected government employee First Amendment right free speech of association refused to financially support a union they wouldn't join. Does this sound familiar to you? It should. This is a doctor who years ago stood up against vaccines. Not against the theory of vaccines, but against the reality of them. As Dan Nedis made this statement some time ago, and he, of course, was disciplined because you can't have doctors speaking their conscience now, can you? We simply can't allow such a thing as that. Dr. Nedis.
What are my big issues regarding vaccines? And these are the things that I'd like to highlight. Number one, there is no education in medical schools that I am aware of. And being an educator at the Cleveland Clinic Lerner College of Medicine and Case Western Reserve University, I am not aware of education around vaccines, their contents, safety records, informed consent, or the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program. We do not discuss that in 1986, Congress enacted legislation removing all liability from pharma related to vaccine adverse events. What are we taught about vaccines? We are taught to memorize the vaccine schedule. We don't discuss that almost $4 billion with a B has been paid to vaccine injured patients since 1992. For medical professionals, we expect fair balance, but vaccines seem to be absolved from that consideration.
And this man had written an editorial about this. Just say, maybe we should have some safety testing. The Cleveland Clinic, where he's at for 21 years, seemingly forced him to issue sort of an apology for that. And his doctor in this speech, again, several years ago, went on to talk about the way that they stonewall any kind of conversation about so-called vaccine hesitancy.
Number two, there appears to be a conflict of interest regarding payments to providers for completing vaccine schedules. And a corollary to that, which would be number three, patients are being dismissed from practices because of, quote unquote, vaccine safety concerns. If you bring up a question about a vaccine and you decide not to vaccinate your child, you may be at risk of being terminated from that practice. Absolutely deplorable and disgusting. Number four, and again to the Bailey family, I'm really sorry, but employers are forcing employees to receive the flu vaccine or face corrective action or job loss. And the fact that your dad was 6 months from retiring is...
The man died. That's why he's tearing up. So the connection here, I hope you see, a captured medical system agreeing to trans kids for money. A captured medical system refusing to give people informed consent or give them information so they can make an informed decision because of money. When the doctor talks about getting fired by your pediatrician, getting dropped by a practice, why would they do that? Because Obamacare changed the compensation scheme for clinics based upon such things as the percentage of people who are vaccinated, specifically kids. So, perverse incentives. Some people should not get these injections at all, such as the gentleman this doctor mentions. And Dr. Nedis is still feeling emotion about that.
There's a number five, there's a lack of informed consent. And I was one of those providers who didn't provide safety sheets before vaccinating. I would tell the parents, these are the vaccines today. We're going to give you three vaccines in one leg and two in the other. And then after vaccinating either the child or the adult patient, here's your information sheet. And again, to be completely transparent with you, I had no idea that there was even a mention of the compensation program or a telephone number to call. Absolutely deplorable on my part, and I apologize to my patients.
Yes, he's tearing up. I hope you see the corollary. When Anthony Fauci came into office in 1968, about 6% of Americans had chronic disease, including obesity, neurological, allergic, autoimmune diseases. By 1986, 11.8% of children had chronic diseases. By 2006, that number had risen to 64%. That's Fauci's track record, and that statement came from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who has the power to do something about this. But he's not. The COVID shots are still officially recommended for children by your FDA. They're pushing a platform technology to be forced upon all meat, birds, and mammals. And agrochemical companies want a waiver from liability when their chemicals cause cancer. May God forgive them. We'll come back on The Disciples View. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman, and we'll get to the tire babbling here. Let me begin. Oh, and a personal note. Don't want to give that short shrift. Let me get to this. I am not always a fan of President Trump's personality. And I think it's, I'm going to think about this. Yeah, no, I think I am usually appreciative of the personality of most of my friends. I guess the more time you spend with somebody, there are those aspects to personalities that are challenging. Unless you're pretending for all that time. But there are times when, in fact, I find President Trump to be very funny. He's got great delivery, great instincts. A reporter asked him about Rosie O'Donnell. Do you remember Rosie O'Donnell? She used to be, well, I shouldn't say that. She was a very talented actress who became very bitter, very woke-ish, and I think, in connection to that, a very unhappy human being. She's actually, though, give her credit. There's a lot of celebrities who said if President Trump is elected, they're going to move. She did it. She moved to Ireland. President Trump had comment on this.
Ireland is known for very happy, fun-loving people, great attitude, many in this room right now that I've met. Why in the world would you let Rosie O'Donnell move to Ireland? I think she's going to lower your happiness level.
That's true. Thank you. I like that question.
You're better off not knowing. It's a rude thing, but it's also, in a way, it's true. My goodness, Rosie O'Donnell, the gifts. Oh, the abundance. God has rained down upon you. Oh, my goodness. And to have the the Irish authorities there as President Trump made that comment, it struck me as funny. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babel.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him...
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites in the Tower of Babbling. That is our tradition. We start here with Republicans. This is Adam Schiff, way back in 2023. And then Adam Schiff in 2025. Let's see if you can spot the difference. In fact, remember, I used to do this in commercial radio. Do you remember that Sesame Street feature? One of these things is not like the other. One of these things doesn't belong. Remember that? Let's see if you and I can together play the Sesame Street game with the important Senator Schiff.
What concerns me the most, frankly, is, you know, this relentless assault on the Justice Department, on the FBI, by not just Trump, but all the other Republican candidates. They're attacking the Justice Department. They're trying to breed a lack of confidence in our justice system.
It's wrong.
That's going to have long-term damage. Mm. It means that people aren't going to trust the FBI. A Justice Department used both as a sword to go after the president's enemies and a shield to hide its corruption.
Oh, my goodness. Do you hear yourself, Adam Schiff? Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. This is a PBS journalist who has discovered something. I didn't realize this. When President Trump started to dismantle the Department of Education, which, despite hundreds of billions of dollars, has succeeded in creating poorer education outcomes in the country.
Public education could take a huge blow. And yes, the vast majority of that is decided by state and local governments. But they but see the federal government doing that, then state governments are going to follow suit and feel emboldened to create a more privatized system of education versus public education. And who ultimately suffers from that? Poor and people of color.
Privatizing what? Wait. Getting rid of the Department of Education doesn't privatize education. It gets rid of a cancer that was preying upon the constitutional requirement that we provide an education for kids. It was preying on this. And incidentally, do you want to know what a lot of people of color have done? That phrase is so against the body of Christ. Neither Greek nor Jew, servant nor master. What the Department of Education did was preying upon them. But you know what a lot of people of color are doing? They're homeschooling. The biggest increase in homeschoolers, in fact, has been black families. Sometimes out of concern for racism at the school, but more commonly out of concern for educational outcomes and the teaching of perverse pornographic sex ed. Within these schools. Last soundbite, today's Tower Babbling. MSNBC has an interesting take on when you decide that you don't like someone's politics, so you go destroy their businesses and threaten their employees.
But then you also overnight have this post claiming that protests at Tesla dealerships are illegal. He said today he would label violence against dealerships domestic terrorism. So just to be clear, you protest a private company, you are labeled by this administration a domestic terrorist.
No. You break windows, you destroy vehicles, you threaten employees, you light on fire the Tesla charging stations. And yes, at that point, imagine that, you are labeled a domestic terrorist because you're doing this for a political outcome. Do they honestly hear themselves? If you were to step back and look at yourself, I mean, this is an analogy, I get that, but if you were to step back and look at yourself when you were at your most awkward, let's say, pubescent age, the way you looked, would you ever look back at that and go, wow, I looked really good? No, because you change and evolve. These people change and evolve within seconds based upon someone's politics, and they never look back and say, wow, I used to think that? And that's a wrap for today's Tower Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciple's View.
And by the way, thank you for all the kind comments we get about the Tower Babbling. It's always interesting to me, the segments that that people grow to love. I get a lot of notes where people say, please, please do more Tower Babbling stuff. We really, really like that. It's a lot of work to put together, and I appreciate you saying that. On a personal note right now, I had a fascinating realization about God and me and women. I was talking to my wife about some things and doing a self-inventory, and I am so thankful that God's has given me a comfort around women, and that God has made me, and this could sound like I'm trying to make myself angelic. I'm not. But that God has given me sort of innate belief in how women should be treated. And maybe it's because I was raised by a single mother for most of my life, but I have this discomfort sometimes with male behavior, particularly predatory behaviors. And I'm not talking about seeking to harm a woman, to commit sexual assault, but conquest. I've always been uncomfortable with male conquest. Now, I've grown to understand as an older man that sometimes women seek to be pursued and, in fact, need to be pursued. And the older I get, the more I understand that it's common for women to feel unseen and unappreciated. And I that hurts me because there's a lot of very, very busy men who are too busy to pursue wives. And my heart is heavy on this as I speak with you about it, because God gave me this, I think of it as a gift. And I think about ways in my life that I haven't always lived up to that gift. And yet I got the most extraordinary Facebook note. I shared this with my wife, so you know. Four years ago, I was reading the book Experiencing God, and this is a great book in terms of what God wants you to do with him. God wants to work with us. He is a God who gets to know us through work, and he has a task for all of us. And it's a workbook, Experiencing God, that you go through, and you're examining your faith and the things you do in your life and the gifts God has given you, not spiritual gifts, but material gifts, gifts of organizing or speaking or planning or working. And from that, you go through and you determine some areas where God might want you to work with him to build the kingdom. And I went through a chapter, and in that chapter it said, God is not going to give you the next big assignment until you finish the last little assignment. So if you have some things that have come between you and God and you're refusing to carry them out and the Holy Spirit is convicting you to carry them out, until that happens, God's not going to give you the next big assignment. So I did this self-inventory and I realized there were some women with whom I had relationships who I treated in an ungodly way, not abusive. I could never bring myself to harm a woman on purpose. I could never put hands on women ever. In my life, I've broken up with one woman in my entire life. Yeah, they broke up with me. I'm the big loser. But in my life, and I hated it. It hurts me to this moment. Not that I did it, but how I did it. Just boom, spur of the moment. Hey, we have to talk. Like that thing. So I got this extraordinary note because I went on an apology tour. I asked my wife permission to do this. I did some work to find these women, and I hadn't spoken with many of them in, well, there was most of them in a decade or more. And I got in touch with them and I said, hey, I would like to reconnect with you. I feel I owe you an apology. And that was intriguing for these women. Like, I broke up with you. What? And it's been this long time. So what? And we had these conversations and all of them went extraordinarily well. I felt so lucky. And in one case, this woman said to me, we were talking and I said, hey, you know what? Gosh, I am so thrilled with how your life has changed. And she would be the first to tell you she was an absolute mess when we met. I was a mess. So for, I don't know, 6 months or a year, we were a mess together. And she said to me, my kids remember you as the only man who was ever nice to me. And they've constantly said you should get in touch with him and marry him. And I've told them he's married. Well, recently I got a note from a woman on Facebook that I've tried to reach, could never find. And she sent me the most faith-affirming note. This just blew my mind. And I asked her if I could read it on the show. She said, so long as you don't use my name or where I'm from. Okay. I cannot believe I'm writing you this note. I received your messages and was surprised that you felt you had anything to apologize to me before. When we dated, I was very aggressive with you. I used you. I'm aware of this now, all these years later. The sexual contact we had, yes, was ungodly. And you always treated me so respectfully. My mom used to bug me to get in touch with you to marry you. The reason I did not respond to your note and your attempts to get in contact with me to apologize is because I didn't understand the feelings I had. The Holy Spirit has been convicting me too, Todd, to track down some people in my life. You've been one of them. I know this isn't something a lady should say to a man. The situation is usually reversed. But I really feel like I pushed you in to having a sexual relationship with me. I want you to know it's taken me years of prayer and work with my pastors to understand how much I needed to have a man in my life who was a good man. What we did was wrong, but I constantly reflect upon the fact that you were careful with me in every way. I pray that your family is well, that you're well. I don't think it's a good idea that you and I have any conversations, but I want you to know that God has been convicting me that I should reach out to you and have these conversations in this manner. What I feel in that is blessed and lucky. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, until God gives us permission to speak again together. May His peace, which transcends all understanding, rest upon you and your families. On behalf of AFR and Randy, I'm Todd Herman. This has been Disciples View.